Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Lord, we pray that we would not only experience and be reminded and take with us outside these walls into our lives and to our community and to our world, Lord, that you would search the places where we're frail and broken, in desperate need, places where we may even feel defeated. And Lord, you would remind us that you are the great I am, that you are the one who takes the dry bones of our lives and you make them alive again. You're the one who reminds us each and every day that you have won the great victory. Lord, to know that we aren't fighting for something that's already been obtained for us because of your son Jesus, but we are fighting from that position. And so, Lord, I pray that you would allow your spirit to rest on us this morning. As we open up the word of God, let it speak to us, let it reveal truth to us, and for some of us, it's going to be truth that we know, it's been there, but it's truth that we have allowed other things to cover over. And so, Lord, I pray that you would resurrect that truth in our minds and in our hearts this morning, and for some, the truths that we'll unpack this morning will be heard for the very first time. And so, Lord, I pray that the response and the posture of all of us would be a posture of great humility, a posture of faith. Lord, thank you for being the great I am. Thank you for being a God on mission. And thank you for allowing your church, this church, to be a part of that mission. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. A little different week, huh? Well, I want to thank you so much for transitioning with us this morning. We had to make some last second calls yesterday, and so we had to change up some service times. But I just want to say thank you for adjusting well and for getting the word out. My name is Kevin Giordano. I'm the lead pastor here at Charleston Baptist Church, and I am so thankful you're here. A new year, but I pray that you'll realize it's the same great word of God. And so we are thankful for that. Just a couple announcements before we get into the word this morning. A couple changes in our service tonight. The deacon ordination, which I encourage all of you to be a part of if you're able to. We are going to ordain John Bellow as a new deacon here at Charleston Baptist Church. And he is going to come alongside our pastors. And I'm thankful that we get to serve him as he serves the church. And so if you would be here at 5 o'clock for that. And then right after that particular service at 6 o'clock, we're going to have a pancake dinner. All the proceeds go to help raise funds for our mission trip. We have a team going to Ecuador this year, and so we're excited to be a part of that. And so if you have not purchased your tickets yet, you can do so right after the service, right outside these doors. On the left-hand side, you'll see Pastor Tony or Pastor Lee there, more than likely, and they'll be able to get some tickets for you for the pancake dinner tonight at 6 o'clock. And then also, I said this last week, I didn't mean to tell a lie, but normal Wednesday night activities will start this Wednesday night. And so all the activities that we're normally accustomed to on Wednesday nights, we're going to kick back up on Wednesday. And so I hope you'll be a part of those things. And so thank you again for being here. There's a connection card in your bulletin. And on the right-hand side, we just ask for some brief information. We really want to know who you are. We want to know where the struggles are. We want to know where the needs are. We want to know where we can point you into your next step of faith of Jesus Christ. Maybe it's you're stepping on the first step where you just want to know more about Jesus. Or maybe you've been a believer for 50 years, but yet you find yourself in a place where there's just callousness. There's coldness. And you're trying to figure out what is that next step for me as I grow in Christ. Maybe for you, you're retired from an American standpoint. But listen, God's still got work for you to do. He hadn't called you home yet. And so maybe you're in that place and you're trying to figure out what does it look like for me and the body of Christ as I transition through this season. And so whatever it is that you're walking through or going through, we want to know about it. And so you can do that by filling out the connection card. Right after the message this morning, our ushers will be collecting God's tithe and our offering, and you can simply put it in there. Or if you'd like, you can give it to one of the ushers as you leave the facilities today. Because of the circumstances this past week, we are going to officially postpone the casting of vision of 2018 till next Sunday as far as the nuts and bolts of it beginning next Sunday. But today's message will help usher us into vision 2018 for the church, for us as a body of Christ. But man, to be honest with you, today's message is the message that we can take with us in our daily lives. That no matter where we're at, we can take the truths that are found in God's word this morning. We'll be in Joshua chapter 1. We can take those truths and we can apply those to our lives. If you're not sure where Joshua is, the book of Joshua, it's the sixth book in the Bible. So if you go hang a left all the way to the left and work your way right, sixth book, you'll find yourself right there in Joshua chapter 1. And so this morning as we kick off a new year, 2018, we have great expectations, great anticipation of what's ahead, not only in the life of this church, but also in our personal lives. Maybe it has to do with relationship or finances or whatever it is for you, health, whatever. We have great expectation for 2018. And to be honest with you, it doesn't take a new year to have great expectation, right? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, we should have great expectation every day. Because there is a God who not only do we serve, but most importantly, he does what? He serves us. That's what the scripture says. The scripture says that he came not to be served, but to be a servant to many and to give his life for those. And so this morning, as we kick off this year, 2018, the title of the message this morning is Unchanging Truths for Times of Transition. And we'll be in Joshua chapter 1. We'll look at the first 9 verses. But when you think back on your life, maybe this past year or maybe 10 years ago, think about some of the transitions that you've had to go through in your personal life. Maybe through a job, or maybe you own a business and there were some places of, man, I'm not sure where we're going. I'm not sure what's going to happen. Maybe as you think about the landscape, the horizon for 2018, you want it to be great. You want it to be in your mind. You want it to be successful and have all these things that are positive. But the reality is, man, many of us in this room today, we're going to experience some hard times this year. And some of us are experiencing those hard times right now. And so when you think back in your life, what's some of the hardest transitions that you've had to walk through? Or as you anticipate what's going to happen in 2018 or 2019 or whatever that year is, think about some transitions, some changes in your life that would be difficult to walk through as a family or as a married couple or as an individual. You know, the reality is some of those transitions are easy. Some of them are very quick. But some of those transitions are long-term. And they're very excruciating. They require more than you're willing to offer oftentimes. And really, when we get to the book of Joshua, specifically in Joshua chapter 1, that there is a huge transition that's taking place when you open up the Bible, when you look at Joshua chapter 1. You see, Moses, a man named Moses, had led the people of God, the people of Israel, for 40 years. But now Moses has died, he's gone. And now it's up to Joshua to lead them into this promised place, this promised land that had been promised for centuries before. Starting back with Abraham in the book of Genesis, this land was promised to the people of God. And really, Moses would have been able to lead the people into the promised land. However, he disobeyed God, and God let him see the land, but not enter the land. And now you have this man named Joshua. He's the successor that Moses appointed to lead the people of God after his death. And so Joshua's there, and you can just imagine that all these questions are beginning to flood in at the people of God, really, are thinking about, like, man, is he going to lead us like Moses leads us? What are things going to look like tomorrow? Or where is he going to take us? And are we going to be able to connect with him? Or maybe there's some fear. Maybe, you know, Joshua's younger than Moses. So maybe the people of God are thinking, well, is he going to forget about us and turn all his attention to these other people? And so these questions begin to flood in. Are they going to be the same? Are things going to be the same? And you can understand the questions of the people because in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 10 through 12, listen to what the Word of God says. It says, "And there has not risen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, when the Lord knew, whom the Lord knew face to face, none like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in sight of all Israel." So this man, Moses, he was the deal. And Joshua's walking in to that place. No pressure, right? I mean, this is going to be easy. Joshua's got it. He's got it all taken care of. Have you ever been there before? Where you have all the past of your life. And now there's this new horizon that's above you and before you. And everything over here is comfortable. Everything over here, you know what it looks like. You know what it feels like. But God is moving this way. And there is something that you're looking at. But now God is going to put you in that place and you're not too sure about it. And you can just imagine from Joshua's perspective, his emotions of anxiety or maybe fear or maybe doubt, or maybe he's worried, or maybe there's a sense of great being overwhelmed and worrying about all these different things. And it's in those moments that just like Joshua, you and I, we need God to come alongside of us and reassure us, don't we? We need God to come alongside of us and say, listen, I know that you're going through times of transition. I know that things in your life aren't going to be like they were back then. But it's okay. I'm with you. Because where you're going is where I want you to be. And there's no greater place than being where God wants you to be. And he's going to come alongside of Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. And he's going to reassure Joshua. And not only Joshua, but he's going to reassure the people of God that, man, there's something about this one who is almighty. Because it's not about the leader to the people of Israel. It's about the God to the people of Israel. And in our context, the God of this church, the God of his church, the God of his people. That's where we put our trust. That's where we put our hope. That's where we find our comfort. And that's the life that we want to live as believers in Jesus Christ. So this message is not just about the church corporately, but it's about you, the church, individually. As you walk into your world today, as you woke up and you anticipated great things, knowing that transition is coming, change is coming in your life. Some of it is known in your life and some of it's unknown. There are truths that are found in the gospel of Jesus Christ that can teach us to hold on to him. And so we're going to unpack three truths from Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And the first truth is this: during times of transition, you can trust in the promises of God. During times of transition, when things happen in your life that you can hold on to, you can trust in the promises of God. And we see this in verses 1 and 2. In Joshua 1, it says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them and to the people of Israel.'" I love the term that's used here to describe Moses. Did you see that? It happens twice. Twice the word that the Word of God uses to describe Moses is a servant. He's a servant of the Lord. Now, at this point, Joshua is not called that. He's called an assistant. But if you go to the end of Joshua, the book of Joshua, Joshua 24, the same phrase is given to Joshua, that he's a servant of the Lord. And why is this important? Why does that matter? Because these two men who were called out by God for God's purposes to do the will of God, they're serving him. God is their leader. God is their master. God is their guide. And Moses and Joshua are his servants. And that's a question for us to ask ourselves. As people who profess Christ as our Savior, those who are disciples of Christ, are you a servant of God in your life right now, today? Are you serving him? The reality is this: as Jesus' servant, there is no single greater purpose in your life than to please the Lord. And oftentimes in life, when we experience change or transition, we take our focus off the Lord and we put it on our own what? Circumstances? The things that aren't going right or the things that aren't going well? And instead of being overcome by Jesus' presence and power and His grace and peace during times of change, we're overwhelmed. We're overwhelmed with the things of life. We're overwhelmed with the things that are unknown, the challenges, the transitions of life. And when we get to a place like that, it leads us in a place of emptiness, doesn't it? We go throughout life and we experience hurt, we experience pain, we experience transition, change. All those things occur in all of our lives. And when we're not trusting in the promises of God, there's a sense of emptiness. Something is missing. There seems to be no purpose in the midst of whatever that transition is. And as a child of God, you and I need to be reminded of the same words that were given to Moses and Joshua. You are my child. You are my servant. And as a servant, I pray that you and I in this church want to be used by God for wherever God is leading us to. Even in the midst of unfavorable circumstances in your life, will we follow Him? Will we trust Him? And God tells Joshua to rise up, to get moving. And this is important because in Deuteronomy 34 verse 8, this is what the scripture tells us. It says, and the people of Israel wept for Moses, so Moses died, and the people of Israel, they're weeping in the plains of Moab for how many days? 30 days. And then when the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended, we get Joshua. This rising up, this go. Here are the people are weeping. Why? Because Moses was profoundly loved by the people. He was their general. He was their leader. He was the one that gave them the law that God had given him. He was the advocate between them and God. He was their judge in many ways. He was, in a sense, their pastor. And before Moses' death, Joshua appoints him to be the successor. And now God is giving Joshua the command that this land that has been promised to my people for generation after generation after generation, the land that is beyond the horizon that you can see from where you're at, it's time for you to go get it. It's time for you to go take it. Everything that I have promised you, it's now time to go enter into it. And listen to what the Lord tells Joshua in verse 3 in chapter 1. He says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you just as what? Just as I had promised to Moses. I mean, think about this verse. This verse is amazing because we see divine grace and we see human responsibility. And that's really the tensions that you and I face each and every day of our lives. We have a divine grace, meaning God has what? God has already given this land. This is land that had been promised. This land is yours. So you see the authority and the sovereignty of God here, grace. But then you have human responsibility, don't you? Yes, this land has already been given to you, but now it's your time to be obedient and go get it. It's your time to go get it. You see it, I've told you, now it's time for you to act. We're done talking about it. It's time for you to go. And think about the dimensions of this promise. In verse 4, it says, from the wilderness and from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river of Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. God is telling them that here is this great piece of land. I mean, think about the prettiest land that you can imagine. And God says, man, it's yours. That's what he's telling Joshua, that this land is yours. But there's a huge problem. In the midst of this incredible land, this promised land, there's some obstacles there. This land has people in it. This land has enemies in there. There's obstacles. There's battles that are going to have to be fought. There's direction, there's guidance that's going to be needed. And the terrain is rough. And the people that were there, man, they're crazy good fighters, by the way. I mean, they have a black belt and you're just getting started, essentially. There's obstacles there, but that's your land. That's what I promise you. It's time for you to go get it. How are we going to do this, God? That's the question. You ever think about that in your life? When God paints a vision in your life, a picture for you, and you see obstacles. Didn't that happen so much? Because we're thinking about all the things that we know, we're comfortable with. And God begins to make some changes in that canvas of your life. And one of the questions that pops up is, man, how is this going to happen? How are we going to do this? Man, if you've ever been in a place, or maybe you're there right now in a time of transition, a time of the unknown, and you're trying to figure out what it is that God is calling you to do or how you're going to get there, man, praise God for his grace. Because in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 6, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in what? In faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. The Lord says, man, ask me. I love the literal Greek translation of this. It says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of the giving God, who gives to all generously and without reproach. Meaning God's not stingy with his wisdom. He's not making you take a number and figuring out, okay, who needs it the most. He's giving it to all who come to him in faith, right? That's what he says. He says, but let him ask what? In faith. Are you willing to ask the Lord for wisdom in faith, whatever the truth that he gives you? You see, when you go through times of transition, there's always going to be something new, isn't there? There's always going to be something that requires something different. There's always something that's a sense of uncomfortableness, a sense of gray area, if you will. And this one who calls us to move out, who calls us through transition and change in life, is also the one who's willing to give us wisdom through those things. That's the grace of God. And so the question for us this morning is, where in your life are you more focused on the problems of life than on the promises of God? Where you're at right now. And maybe right now things are going great. But what if the hiccup in 2018 for you was something that happened to your child? Or something that happened in your marriage, or something that happened in your health, or maybe the stock market went from 25,000 plus or wherever it is right now, and it tanked all the way down to 10,000. I hope it don't happen, but let's say it did. Are you going to be more focused on your problem or more focused on the promises of God? And so that's the questions that's being asked here. Whatever it is, God is saying, don't put your trust in your circumstances. Don't put your trust in your career. Don't put your trust in a relationship, but put your trust in me. The same God that fulfilled the promises to Joshua and to Moses is the same God that's going to fulfill his promises to you. During times of transition, we must trust in God's promises. Truth number two, during times of transition, take comfort in the presence of God. We must take comfort in the presence of God. One of the things you notice in life of Joshua is the fact that he needed strength in his weakness. Joshua was real, just like you and I are real. We may act tough, we may act rough, we may act like we got it all together, but deep down, there's places of insecurity. There's places where we just don't know how we're going to get there. And Joshua, over and over again, needed strength in his weakness. Think about it. Joshua had already tried to lead the people of God at one point in his life. If you go back to Numbers 13, there are 12 spies that were sent out into the promised land to scope it out, to see what it looked like. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, they go out. And they come back and they're like, man, or they all go out and they come back and say, man, the land is great. Things are going to be great there. It's beautiful. Milk and honey, all these different things. And Joshua and Caleb, when they come back, they say, man, we're going to go get it. That's our land. God has given us that land. Let's go get it. They're pumped. They're amped. They're ready to go get the trophy. But then the other 10 spies, they come back and say, man, we can't do it. We can't do it. Those people are too big. The obstacles are too much. And Joshua and Caleb say, man, dude, yes, we can. God has given us this land. It's not because of us, it's because of him. And the people still denied it. Flip over one more chapter to Numbers 14. Joshua goes before the people again and he's telling them, listen, God has given us this land. And the people of God, their response, listen, their response was what? They wanted to stone him to death. That was the people of God's response to him. And so now those people are gone, they're dead. But can you imagine in Joshua's mind, Lord, I've tried this before, and this is how it turned out. And now I'm being called to lead the people again. I need your strength in my weakness. And how does God give Joshua strength? Well, in verse 5, it says this: "No man shall be able to stand before you in all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you." What I love about verse 5 is this. Joshua was not given some strategy. He wasn't given some kind of special technique to give to the people. He was given the very thing that he needed, the very thing that you and I need when we're facing great obstacle, and that is this: the very promise and the presence of God. Listen, there's bad news in the life of a believer, just like there's bad news in the life of a non-believer. Ultimately, we're going to see the Lord face to face. Praise God for that. But we're going to face some hard times, right? Some of us, we're going to experience financial issues, job issues, family issues. There's going to be issues in the church, spiritual issues, questions, concerns, worries, anxiety. That list can go on and on, right? But the great news is this: God will never leave us, and he will never forsake us. Philippians 4:19 says this: "And my God will supply." That word "supply" means to meet, to fulfill, to complete what is needed. Every need of yours. Now, when you think about need, it's talking about necessity, right? It's not talking about wants. According. I love that word "according," because God is saying, I'm going to supply everything you need every day at every moment. That's what it means there when he says the word "according." To his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, his abundant grace and mercy will do these things for you. Wherever it is that I called you, whatever season of transition or change that you're walking through, I'm going to give you everything you need. My grace and my mercy is sufficient. The reality is this: oftentimes we get caught off guard, right? God doesn't get caught off guard. He knows exactly what's ahead. He knows exactly where our hearts are. He knows exactly where our minds are. And he gives us exactly what we need. And he gives us the promise of his presence. In Joshua 1:6, the scripture says, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them." I love what the word of God does here. When he talks about this concept of be strong and courageous, God is going after the heart of Joshua. What is it in your heart, Joshua, that's uncertain? That there's doubt? That there's a reminder of something that happened in the past? I'm getting to your heart, Joshua. Be strong. Be courageous. God is telling Joshua, here is the vision. Here's the horizon that is ahead of you in this life. Now seize it. Fortified in my presence. Be resolute. Don't be weak. Don't be timid. Determine in your mind and your heart right now that this is the direction that the Lord is taking you. And know that your ability to be strong, your ability to be courageous, is because I am with you. Not because of you, but because of the very presence of God. Do you believe that right now in your life? Is that a present reality in your life today? If you get very personable with yourself, are you finding great comfort in the very presence of God? You see, our greatest need in life isn't answers to all the questions, right? Our greatest need in life really isn't to have the circumstances change either. Our greatest need in life is to have the very presence of God with us. Is God's presence good enough for you? The only reason you and I can be strong and courageous is because he is the one who is strong and courageous. Hebrews 13:6 says, "We can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" No matter where you are today, no matter what your past looked like, no matter where tomorrow leads you, no matter how demanding the transition may be in your life, do you believe that the presence of his comfort is what you need most? And so the question for us this morning is, where in your life are you more concerned with changing your circumstances than resting in his presence? Man, there's great rest in the presence of God. That's why in Matthew, Jesus would say, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Those who are burdened, those who are beaten down, those who are exhausted. Take my yoke. Take my teaching of grace and truth. And you wrap yourself, you cling to that. And I will give you rest, not physical rest. I will give you rest for the soul. So we need to take comfort in knowing that He is with us. We need to trust in the promises of God. And lastly, during times of transition, we must not drift from the Word of God. We must not drift from the Word of God. Oftentimes when we're going through times of transition or change, we have a tendency to try to do things on our own, don't we? We try to take over because it ain't happened fast enough, or you don't like where it's going. And so you let the Bible collect dust, right? When that's the very thing that you need the most. And that's the challenge, that's the encouragement that God's word has given to Joshua. In verses 7 and the first part of verse 8, it says, only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all what? All the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Man, the Lord says, meditate on the Word of God. Don't just read it. Listen, one of the things that we face each and every day is we sign up for every Bible study known to man. Am I talking to anybody yet? I just had a conversation with a man this past week about that. We will sign up for every Bible study, and we will gain more knowledge, but rarely have any transformation, because we're not meditating on the Word of God. Listen, greater than our need for knowledge of Christ is our need to be dependent on Christ. And when we're dependent on Christ and His Word, gospel transformation happens. God says, man, Joshua, let my word marinate in your life. Don't you love a good marinade? That steak, You could kill a good piece of meat with a bad marinade, can't you? That's why if you're like me, matter of fact, I got a story I'll tell real quick. Julie and I were kind of first newlyweds, and I was going to make some burgers on the grill. This is totally ad lib. And I made what we call now the Worcestershire burger. Those things were so nasty that they were repulsive. I mean, but in my pride, I ate it, said it was good, but man, it was bad. So every time I bring out Worcestershire sauce, my wife's looking at me like, you remember what happened? You remember what happened? Yes, I do, and you haven't let me down yet. So, but the Word of God is a great marinade. And He says to marinate on that, meditate on that. And don't just absorb the Word of God, man. Apply it to your life. Be obedient to what it's calling you to do. When we turn our backs on God's word, when we are content to rely on human wisdom, we end up disobeying God. And when we disobey God, life is chaotic, isn't it? Everything is chaotic. But have you found that when you are clinging and resting in the word of God, meditating on it, letting it soak deep into your soul, even though life is going crazy, there's an anchor to your soul. Why? Because it's found in the truths of God. And so how serious was Joshua about the word of God? Well, he tells us in Joshua 8, verses 34 and 35. And afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessing and curse, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded that Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, and the women and the little ones and all the sojourners who lived among them. So think about this. When you get from Joshua 1 to Joshua 8, there's military battle after military battle. And yet here you find Joshua in chapter 8, even through all that success and one defeat, by the way, he's still clinging on to the Word of God. You see, the military success of Israel in the book of Joshua is never based on how strong they were or what strategy or vision they came up with. It was always and is always based on the Word of God and their obedience to it. I mean, how else do you explain the walls of Jericho coming down by just simply blowing trumpets? It makes no sense. On the flip side, now they were obedient when the walls of Jericho came down, but on the flip side, when disobedience arose in the camp, how is it possible, how do you explain that the mighty army of Israel going to a puny town like Ai and a puny army like Ai and yet leave defeated? Because they got away from the word of God. They didn't obey the word of God. Listen, I pray that in this church and in my life and my family, that it's not my disobedience to the word of God that denies me anything that God has before me. And if you go back and read the context of what happened when Israel was defeated, one man's sin, one man's disobedience held the whole people back. And that should be a reminder to us that we cannot buy into the lie of Satan that my sin and your sin only affects you and only affects me. It is not true. And when we think about the horizon that God has painted before us in this church, know that every disobedience has the potential to cause those gates to stay locked and not be open. There is divine grace, yes, but there is human responsibility, and we must take it serious. So why is this important? Well, in verse 8, Scripture says, "For," meaning only, "then you will make your way prosperous, and only then will you have good success." Listen, God is not talking about a prosperity gospel here. He's talking about the very power and the presence and the unity that's found in God Himself. To know that the greatest purpose of your life, why you were created, is being fulfilled right before your eyes because you have been obedient to the Word of God. So the question for us this morning is, where in your life are you replacing God's Word with human wisdom? Where in your life are you replacing God's Word with human wisdom? Two common lies that surface in times of transition is this. The lie is, nothing can replace this, right? Listen, the truth is, there's only one thing irreplaceable, and that's God Himself. The second lie is this. Things will never be the same. Well, the truth is, oftentimes things shouldn't be the same, should they? They shouldn't. Now, the only thing that stays the same is the Word of God, right? Methods change. Ministries change. Direction changes. So oftentimes in life, things won't stay the same. There's movement that happens. Why? Because it is alive. And during times of transition in your life, trust in the promises. Take comfort in His presence. And don't drift from His Word. Why? Because in verse 9, He anchors it back home. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you," what? "Wherever you go." Sounds like the promise found in the Great Commission, doesn't it? Lo and behold, no matter where you go, Jesus says, "I will be with you." It's interesting to note that in the life of Joshua, he experienced a name change, by the way. Up until Joshua 1, his name meant deliverer or salvation. But Moses changes his name to Joshua. It's a subtle change, but it's a significant change. Instead of his name meaning deliverance or salvation, now it means Yahweh delivers and Yahweh saves. Subtle shift, but significant. Why? Because everything is anchored in who? Yahweh, the Lord. And it's in that name that you and I are introduced in the New Testament, the Gospels, to this one name, Jesus. Jesus' name comes from the Hebrew name for Joshua. And He is our great anchor. He is our great truth. He is our great promise fulfilled in our lives. And so for my family, I pray for your family and for this church, our focus and our gaze would be on Jesus Christ. And so as we go to our time of response, the time of invitation, as Pastor Sean and the praise team come up, I'm going to encourage us to pray for our church. I'm going to encourage you to pray for your family, for our community, for global missions this year, that we would be willing to sacrifice, that we would be willing to let the Word of God marinate to the depths of our soul. And when we rise up, we will be strong and courageous because He is strong and courageous. Maybe you're here this morning and you realize that, man, you're not holding on to the promises of God. Maybe you realize the great idol of your life is not the presence of God, but it's getting rid of the circumstances that you're in right now. Maybe for you this morning, you've drifted so far away from the Word of God, you're trying to do things on your own. It's exhausting and it's frustrating. Today is the day to repent and confess and believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't have a personal relationship with Christ and you're interested in knowing what that means. When we stand and sing in just a moment, all you got to do is come forward and say, I need to know more about this one named Jesus. Maybe for you, your testimony is, I have given my life to Jesus Christ and I want you to know. We want to partner with you. We want to position ourselves in such a way that we encourage your journey of faith. Maybe you're here this morning and you just need to pray. The altar is open for you. If you're interested in joining Charleston Baptist Church, you can come forward and say, I need to know more about Charleston Baptist Church. We'll get some counseling for you, and they'll teach you a little bit more about Charleston Baptist Church. But whatever your decision is today, I pray that you would respond in faith, because the same God that rose up for Moses and the same God that rose up for Joshua is the same God that will rise up for you. Let us stand and sing to Him.